Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
We are live, we are live, we are live, people. My brothers from another's mothers. Does that make sense? I don't know, but it's going to make sense today because you are my brother. And my brother, today I'm excited because we are going to learn exactly why we're actually trying to strive to be over 40 alphas. Why are we trying to regain our manhood? What, you know, why are we trying to change our lifestyle so we can continue to be the men that we need to be for ourselves, for our families, for, you know, our business and what have you. And, you know, like I always say, it all starts with health. It all starts with you taking care of yourself, because unless you take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to be the person, the man you're supposed to be, you know, at work or with your kids or with your grandkids or with your wife, family. You need to be number one. That's what it boils down to. You need to be, do the things that is going to help you, you know, live till you're 90, live till you're 100. You know, let's push that barrier. And I think it's like 70 something years old for men. I don't know. Maybe our guests will help us, but we want to push that barrier. Okay. We're not going to settle anymore. We're going to push that barrier. And the first thing we're going to do is our health. But before we even tackle that, we have to understand where we are, what's going on, don't we have any energy to run around with our kids? Why are you so stressed out? Why can't you build muscle? Why, you know, are you not performing in bed? You know, why are you not waking up with a badass boner every morning? Why aren't you doing that? What's going on? And it's not because I'm old, you know, I'm supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to be an alpha dad. I'm old. Yeah, not an alpha dad. Sorry, a dad bod. No, man, you're not supposed to be any of that. You're supposed to continue to be strong, just like our grandfathers and great grandfathers who fought in the wars and, you know. Anyways, I'm going on and on because I'm very passionate about this. And I'm also passionate about introducing our guest today, because today we're going to talk about our hormones. We're going to talk about the male hormone that we really need to focus on. And we're going to talk about the hormones that we need to still focus on, but really strive to keep those down. And no other better person to have than Dr. Dominika, our naturopathic doctor who's in the house. She's from Wealth Pharmacy in Toronto. Dr. Dom, can I call you Dr. Dom?
Of course you can.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Dr. Dom.
It's yes, a lot girl. Easier because my name's pretty much a mouthful.
So how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much
on your podcast today.
No problem. Thank you for being on this show. This is going to be, I'm excited about this because I try to educate, but when it comes from a doctor, they take it more serious. Like I can just, oh yeah, you know, we got to do this. I'm just a fitness guy. When the doctor's telling you this, that's when guys start to, okay, maybe I do need to figure shit out.
Yeah, and we're going to cover some good ground today.
Good, good. So first, let's just tell us your background, you know, give us your background.
Yeah, I've been in practice for over 10 years, and the majority of my practice is focused on hormone restoration in men and women. Okay. And I work with individuals who are seeking to explore their health, better understand themselves, connect the dots between mind, body, and the medicine that they need to feel well, to feel empowered and purposeful. And then with that knowledge, they can actually be informed health advocates for themselves.
Right.
So it's really about connecting the dots. And yeah. Each individual is different. And we're going to talk about hormones today. And there is no, you know, one size fits all. Everything is a very much a personalized approach. Right. And that's how we need to be addressing every man's unique health story.
So when we talk about, the unique story, before we started, you said something about, you know, we just don't know what's happening. A lot of times we don't know what's going on when we reach 40, when yeah. even in our 50s, we have no clue what's going on. We just think that this is the way we're supposed to feel. Yeah. This is the way we're supposed to look. So we just settle. What's yeah. going on?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a brief journey in the history of men's health. So, okay. You know, boys and girls the same, you know, they're fed the same, they're active, you know, they're on par with one another. And then as soon as adolescence hits, testosterone starts to rise. And since we know that testosterone is the hormone that's involved in the production of protein and the production of muscle, we start to see boys, as they turn into teens, grow upwards rather than outwards. And we know that most teenage boys eat so much that, you know, their parents can expect to take out a second mortgage. They're growing appetites, right? It's to be expected.
Yeah.
Their metabolism at this point is pretty robust, meaning that they can eat whole pizza or, you know, a bag of Cheetos, if Cheetos are still a thing, and they still remain looking like beanpoles.
Right.
Probably attending gym class and probably some kind of after school, you know, sports. So they're moving, right? Mm-hmm. And so basically they're eating, they're sleeping, they're moving, they're going doing their homework, and nothing is expected of them, and it's status quo. Then they reach their early 20s. They may be in university or college. They may have a part-time job, or they may have been, you know, they may have joined the workforce, 9-to-5 or shift work. And if at this point they haven't been given any kind of nutritional or lifestyle guidance, they continue eating as they have been as teenagers. But because they've become so busy with work, school, or a combination of both, physical activity kind of falls to the wayside in order to, you know, to keep up with the demands of life. And at this point, we start to see, and statistically, we see higher rates of like low back pain, knee pain, depression, alcohol abuse, poisoning. And when I say poisoning, it's either alcohol poisoning or prescription drugs, ibuprofen, so on and so forth. And even suicide rates start to rise in this age group.
20 to 30, right?
25 to 30. Okay. Later. Yeah. But at this point, we're doing nothing. And then men reach their 30s. At this point, their careers are a lot more demanding. They're in family life, and things can get, you know, they'll pull out some weight. There may be some insomnia, but they're sort of they're chugging along. At this point, they're not seeing their doctors particularly regularly yet, right. unless their partners are encouraging them to do so, or possibly withholding sex as a threat.
Totally.
and so you know, that's what's sort of going on, and there are definitely certain cues that are there, right? They're not sleeping, but they're telling themselves, well, wait a second, it's probably my kids, it's probably my wife, it's probably my dog, I shouldn't have eaten so late, it's probably that 4 p.m. cup of coffee, let me get on my phone, I'll tire myself out and I'll sleep.
Right.
They're not really thinking about blood pressure, cholesterol, or blood sugar, because they've been told that's an affliction of men over their 40s. Right. They're not thinking about their prostate health. They're not thinking about their colorectal health, because that happens to men in their 50s.
Right, right.
There's really no strategy. Like, what are we telling men? We're not telling them anything.
Right.
What men know with respect to their health is, like I said, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes is 40 and up. Colorectal, bladder, prostate is 50 and up. And so they're following those screening guidelines, but what about everything else?
Right.
And so there are arguments in public health to say if we screen too early, it can result in undue stress and anxiety. And my argument is, if we screen early and catch something early, and we do something with that information, if we do something with that data in the form of a strategy, then rather than causing stress and anxiety, it empowers the individual, in this case, the male patient, to do something about it. I really, like, I like working with men, particularly because I find, you know, when it comes to gender differences in terms of brain chemistry, is the time between a thought and behavior is pretty short.
Totally.
Data and information, and you tell them what to do with that, they run with it, right? And so what we need to be giving men is a strategy, a plan of action, not only to reduce the risk of disease, but how to optimize their health. So tools like diet plans, exercise plans, supplement plans, medications where they're needed, and being followed up thoroughly. That those are the tools that really help fulfill those health goals, which is essentially feeling really well to then do and pursue everything that you want to be pursuing in life.
I love that you are opposed to what they are saying. If you give too much information when they're younger, it's going to stress them out. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is we are already stressed. We're already probably at our capacity because we don't know what's going on.
And exactly.
We're stressed out, like, fuck, I don't know what's happening. Why am I feeling like this? And although we try to man up and try to say, okay, I'm supposed to be this way, deep inside, we are stressed. We're worried, you know, and we need to know. So I think you're totally right. When you give a male something and give them guidance, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is what you need to look out for. This is where you are. These are some of the strategies you should be doing, just so that when you get to 40 or 50 or 60, you're already kind of understanding what's happening.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so it's funny. I was listening to a podcast. It was The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes, and he had Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
As a guest.
Yes.
And Tony Robbins was talking about the importance of having a home office. And by home office, he was referring to having like a mortgage guy, an investment guy, a tax guy, having a team of like 10 to 12 people
right.
to guide you to reach your financial goals and attain financial success.
Right.
And why shouldn't we have a home health office?
Totally.
A team of healthcare providers. So that's your family doctor, your naturopathic doctor like myself, a pharmacist. Right. A personal trainer, a nutritionist, and any other allied health practitioner to help you achieve your health goals and address your unique health needs. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, some will argue that they don't need it, that they could do it on their own. If they could do it on their own, they would have done it already.
Totally. Totally.
Right. And so the home health office that I've
love it. Love it.
I think every man and should have a team behind him so that he could be in his personal and health life successful so that he can then achieve his financial, professional, personal goals.
I love it, man. I love that. That exactly it, you know, especially now that, you know, we're texting more and social media allows us to reach out a lot easier. So if you have a home, if you have a home health office, you can, I'm feeling something here. Let me just quickly text my physio guy or physio girl, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, here's some food. Let me text my whatever. So, I mean, it's really, I love that.
And ultimately, like if you don't have a group of experts looking out for you and you're sort of, you know, sifting through the information on the internet on your own,
right.
It's really difficult to differentiate between, you know, not only what's true and what's not, but what applies to me
right.
and what doesn't. Right. And we can, I want to mention that it's really important not to single out one hormone.
Right.
Right. Because singling out one hormone is like taking a book, opening it to chapter 10, reading a couple lines and assuming what that book is about.
Sure.
We really need to create a context.
Right. Right. Yeah. So in creating that context and now understanding what's happening to our bodies, our testosterone levels are low. They're extremely low, lower than they've ever been before.
Yeah.
Take us through, first of all, the importance of testosterone. What is testosterone and how it's made? And, you know, kind of give us like that testosterone 101, you know.
Yeah.
If you can.
So testosterone, first of all, you know, we think that testosterone starts to be produced in adolescence in
right.
both boys and girls. In fact, it actually starts a lot sooner in boys. It actually starts in the first few months of life, between 4 and 7 months. And testosterone at that point is produced. It's designed to actually serve for towards brain development.
Okay.
And so there are no other testosterone receptors in the body in from boys at the time. It's only acting on the brain. And then testosterone after a few months stops producing. And then it isn't until boys hit puberty that testosterone starts to rise again.
Okay.
And it will rise up until the age of 30. 30 is more or less your peak testosterone age, and that correlates with your reproductive age, which is around the time that, you know, people are having families and raising children. And so we see, age reflect in testosterone. And then it is expected to see a 1% decline in testosterone levels every year thereafter, after the age of 30.
Right.
And it's really important to also know when to test for testosterone. Okay. Yeah. So testosterone should be measured first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Because testosterone follows a similar curve to that of cortisol.
Right.
Cortisol's high in the morning and it tapers off as the day goes on. The same holds true for testosterone.
Okay.
So when a man is testing his testosterone levels, it should be, first of all, the same lab every time, but also at the same time.
Okay.
Every time. Okay. And some argue that testosterone, you know, once a man gets a little bit older, that it doesn't really matter. But from what the studies I've seen is it still follows that cortisol curve and will be highest first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Also important not to go on a one testosterone test.
Okay.
So it's important that if a man gets a low T reading, to repeat it after 30 days.
Right.
Because 30% of the time that T will normalize and go back to a normal level. So for whatever reason, a one-off reading can come up as low. It doesn't mean that this man has low T.
Okay, so let's just stop there for a second and talk about the measurements, because I know that there's two types of, well, at least I know personally that there's two types of measurements. There's like, for instance, when I was on prednisone, I went to get my testosterone checked and I was 15 out of 30. But then there's the other one that's like between, I don't know, zero and 1,000 or 1,500 or whatever.
Yeah.
What are the differences between those two and how do those?
So I suspect that what they were measuring is, so there's total testosterone.
Yeah.
There's free testosterone and then there's bioavailable testosterone.
Okay.
Okay, so about 2 to 3% of testosterone is unbound, so it's free floating in the blood.
Right.
Another 33% is bound to albumin.
Right.
This is weakly bound, and then there's one that's really strongly bound to sex hormone binding globulin.
Right.
So when you take all of those tests together, you can calculate what we call bioavailable testosterone, which is total testosterone plus the albumin fraction,
right.
And that tells you more or less what your testosterone, not only output, but how much is
free,
acting freely with right. all cells of your body.
So which one of those tests, like, again, I was 15 out of, you know, the nurse called me and said, okay, you're 15 out of 35 or something.
Yeah.
So that's normal. And I'm like, that doesn't sound normal to me. 15 is low as far as I'm concerned, but that's also because I was on prednisone.
Yeah. So the prednisone would have suppressed your testosterone production. Sure. This could be an acute period where your testosterone may have dropped.
Yeah.
15 is not bad. I mean, we start to worry we start to monitor when total testosterone hits 12.
Right.
Okay. And then, and when I say, you know, we monitor, we start to implement the necessary dietary lifestyle and exercise recommendations.
Right.
If, you know, what it may be having an effect on your total body production of testosterone, because you could have lower total testosterone, but if you're free or bioavailable is good, then
that's all you worry about.
Fine. But we still want to be worrying, why is total testosterone output lower? And in your case, it would be the result of cortisol or cortisol.
Yeah. And I just got my testosterone checked again.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was at my doctor and he just said, just go, I want you to get this checked again. So I got the blood test done again. So that 15 out of 30 or that measurement, it's out of 30, right? Is that the measurement?
It depends on the, so it'll be either like 8 to 29 or, you know, 10 to 32, depending on the lab, but more or less 30, yeah.
That's total testosterone.
That's total testosterone.
What's the other one that's like, people are going, oh, my testosterone level is 800 or 1500 or
that's
whatever.
That's free testosterone.
That's free, okay.
That's free.
Okay, so, okay. That's important because, you know, I've been only getting the total testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get the free testosterone? Test.
So it would be a blood test.
Same blood test. Okay, yeah, okay. So I could probably ask for both readings, and it would be.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So okay, I just because I didn't. I'm getting one, and she's like, oh yeah, this is what your reading is, and I'm waiting for the other one.
That's
whatever it is, but.
Yeah, because functionally, total testosterone be okay, but free
is the one you want.
And so we want to be just not look, although some physicians will say that, you know, total testosterone alone is enough to initiate testosterone replacement therapy if it's indicated. Right. I end up doing a full workup where I look at free testosterone, bioavailable testosterone. I measure sex hormone binding globulin, right. I take insulin and cortisol and all of that to get a sense of, you know, where we should be starting.
Right. Okay. So what is the normal range? Like, so for me, when I see 15, I'm like, no, I'm not satisfied with 15. I want to be 20. I want to be 25. I want to, you know, and that's through lifestyle. That's all that is. And that's what I tell my over 40 alphas, like, listen, don't be satisfied because your doctor or whoever is reading the test says it's 15. Yeah. You want to push that to 20. You want to be as high as you can be, sure, or at least live the life to get that as high as you can be.
Yeah.
Right. So what is the normal range for both of those readings?
Yeah. So we sort of look at it in quartiles, right? So Funk, how old are you?
I'm 49.
49.
Oh. Yeah.
49, you look like you're 35. Oh, okay.
Oil of Olay twice a day. Guys, remember that. Oil of Olay twice a day. And bio oil. Put that on your face before you go to bed. Anyways, go on.
So it is very individualized, meaning that even from a genetic standpoint, one will have a maximal amount of hormone output, okay? And so maximum testosterone will be 30, you know, and I'll see anywhere between, you know, 20 to 30 in men in their 20s.
Okay.
And then as they hit 30, it'll be 20 or less.
Right, okay.
And then from there on, like I said, it goes down by 1% per year.
Right.
So what is more important is not what your number is. It's first of all, how you feel,
right,
and how big of a drop is it from your original baseline level. So I do encourage all of my male patients who are 30, 35 to get a baseline testosterone level,
right,
which is when they're feeling their best, mm-hmm, and then compare it, you know, down the road, to, you know, when things start to change and they're starting to feel perhaps not as good as they felt 5-10 years prior.
Right.
So to answer your question, it is relative. So if your testosterone has been steady over the last 10-20 years, then I think that that's healthy and normal. And what we want to be doing is in just optimizing everything else so that your testosterone doesn't plummet or fall off the cliff abruptly.
Okay. So most of the guys listening to this probably have never got the testosterone checked.
Probably not.
So, cause now I'm getting a lot of panicked emails from friends who are now in their 40s saying, hey man, I just checked my testosterone. I know you're doing the over 40 thing. Yeah. You know, this is what my testosterone is. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then I, you know, for me, I'm not a doctor, but I've done so much research and study through this, that I start to ask them those questions. What's going on in your life? You know? Oh, well, I've got my kids and I'm not sleeping and, you know, I've got two businesses, another job, you know, I'm drinking beer every night, you know, like all these things. I'm like, well, that's 1,000,000% what you're saying is the reason why your testosterone is there, but we can fix it. We can turn it around. But so anything lower than 12, you, this is where we need to really, you know, start to see, you know, what's going on.
Like we get pretty aggressive. If it hits or less, then a man may become a candidate for some kind of hormonal restoration therapy. In younger men, it won't be straight up testosterone replacement. It'll be something like clomiphene, which is a drug that's administered to stimulate at the level of the pituitary gland,
right?
FSH and LH, to then send a signal to the testes to make more testosterone.
Right.
So that's usually effective for men who are a little bit younger. We see that. It is a trend in men who have had more than one concussion.
Yeah, well, that's funny you just said that.
That's right, yeah.
Because a UFC fighter, Jesse Taylor, who was suspended last year, has now been reinstated, was on clomiphene. Clomiphene, that's what he was taking.
That's right.
And he's like, he's in his mid-30s for sure.
Yeah, so a traumatic brain injury will literally disrupt it's the most fragile of like nettings,
right,
in the anterior pituitary. And once you disrupt that, there's really no way of connecting that netting up again. It's destroyed, in which case you can't release the necessary FSH and LH into circulation to have an effect on the reproductive system of a man.
FSH being?
Follicle stimulating hormone.
LH being?
Luteinizing hormone.
Okay. Yeah. Just for our listeners. Yeah. Okay. So, man, this is amazing. Like, my mind's being blown because we can go in so many places, because now I'm just going to throw this out there, but we're going to come back. Okay. So fighters.
Yeah.
Generally have low testosterone. Right. That's just concussions. That's training. That's like, that's, if you're a fighter, as much as you're doing a sport that, big testosterone, you're thinking either alpha, it's an alpha type sport. Sure. Your testosterone levels are super, super, super low for sure. 100%. Even in your 20s, 30s and 40s, just because of the training, the lack of eating and the concussions that you're taking on a daily basis if you're sparring a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the burliest of patients, you know?
Yeah.
My burliest patients, I mean, like, they're muscular and everything, and they have low T, but they are also, you know, hockey players.
Yeah.
In their youth, and they sustained a lot of head injuries.
Right.
And these are often the results. So we need to be screening.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. So let's go back to, okay, so anything under 12, we're going aggressive, but my personal thing is you want to get to 20, 40, 50, 60, let's try to get to 20. Let's do everything we can to get to 20. That's all. Whether you're going to get there or not, but if you strive for that, then you're going to really focus your life on really pushing to do everything you can to raise your testosterone and keeping those other hormones down. Now, the other test, which is to 1500, I think.
The free testosterone, yeah.
Yeah. What is the normal? What's normal? What's low or what's high or what's we're not high? What's low?
A man in his, 30s and 40s, I mean, you want to be at 50th percentile of the range. I don't remember the range. I think it's like 300 to 1,000 to 300.
Yeah.
More or less 50th percentile of the range.
Right. Okay. So
that will fluctuate. So you want to be looking for patterns rather than just one-off test.
One-off test. Okay. Yeah. So if you do get the one-off test and it's, lower, then, start to change your lifestyle, over 40, that's what we do with the over 40 shred program. It's all about lifestyle, but you want to, again, push yourself to the 800s and 900s and see the difference. You really want to see the difference, really. Like, you're going to get that first number and then, okay, this is where I'm at. Even though your doctor may say, hey, this is normal, you they're saying it's normal because it's normal, but you don't want to be normal. You want to push it to the next level and make sure
that you want to optimize.
Thank you.
To your unique potential.
Totally. Okay. So it's perfect. Okay. So now we talked about the tests. Now let's talk about testosterone in general. How is it being produced?
So it's produced at the level of the testes.
Right.
Under the stimulation of luteinizing hormone.
Yes. LH.
LH. And it's so, unlike women where, it's produced peripherally, in men it's actually produced at the level of the testes. Okay. Right. And that's why we know that just based on anatomy alone, things like heat and mechanical sort of friction is sets the testes up to be quite vulnerable.
Yes, it's so funny you say that, because but when I was younger, the older guys would always say, if you ride a bike a lot, or if you wear like tight underwear or all this kind of things, it's going to mess with your testes, which produces testosterone. But at that time, it's going in one ear and out the other. Now you're like, right, exactly. It's like, that's what it meant. Okay. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Testosterone is a sex hormone. It's made from cholesterol.
Yes.
And later on, I do want to mention the impact of cholesterol lowering medication on testosterone. So we're going to get there.
Sure.
There are receptors for testosterone all over the human body, or the man's body. It's involved in making protein and muscle. Yeah. It helps to build bone. It helps to control blood sugar. It helps to regulate cholesterol. It maintains a powerful immune system, helps with mental concentration, improves mood, and protects the brain against Alzheimer's.
Beautiful.
Mention a few.
A few things, guys. I mean, there's energy and there's a ton of other things that testosterone will.
Yeah. We want to start thinking about whether or not a man is experiencing low testosterone when some of the following symptoms arise.
Okay.
Fatigue, tiredness, loss of energy, depression or irritable mood, loss of memory or difficulty concentrating, loss of sex drive or libido, loss of erections or problems during sex, backache, joint pain, stiffness, which we don't really think about it being related to testosterone, a decline in physical ability, decrease in job performance, bone loss, and elevations in cholesterol.
Yes, yes.
So oftentimes I will have my patients do the tape test. I don't know if you've ever heard of the tape test before.
Yeah, I have, but explain it again.
Yeah, so before bed, you just put a piece of tape around your penis, and you want to know whether or not you're having nighttime erections or first morning erections. So if you wake up in the morning and that tape is torn, you had a night or mid-morning erection. But just to keep in mind, any kind of erectile dysfunction is primarily linked to cardiovascular problems, so circulatory issues, rather than caused by low T.
Right. Okay. So your blood's not getting to where it needs to get to.
That's right. So it ends up being possibly a heart or cardiovascular problem rather than it being a testosterone problem.
Is that why they say taking like arginine is good for that sort of thing? I mean, the blood. Right.
Yeah. And so even men who have low T will still have normal erections.
Right. Okay.
So erections are sort of the last thing to go.
Thank God, guys.
Yeah, and so when you ask men how things are going, they're like, "Well, I'm getting erections, so it must mean everything is good," and that's not necessarily the case.
Huge. That's huge.
Yeah, there is an assessment tool that that physicians use in clinical practice. It's called the ADAM questionnaire. ADAM stands for androgen deficiency in the aging male, and it's 10 questions to which a man answers yes or no. And it helps to guide the clinician's treatment and what test to send that patient for.
Awesome.
And the questionnaire is not diagnostic. So you're not diagnosing low T. It's a screening tool to see, should we be barking up this tree?
That's huge. I'm going to send out the ADAM test to everyone on my list.
So
yeah, totally. Yeah. That's huge. Just to start the process so they can start thinking about that. That's amazing.
Exactly. So, do you want me to read out the 10 questions?
Huh?
Do you want me to read out the 10 questions or do we want to?
No, I'm gonna send them the PDF.
Send it off. Okay.
Yeah, because it's online. I think I've seen it.
And so like if the answer yes to three or more, then a conversation should be had.
Perfect. Okay. Love it. Okay. So now we know how testosterone is generally produced at night, in the morning.
It's higher in the morning.
That's why sleep is very, very important.
That's right. And then we know that things like alcohol has a huge impact on testosterone levels. So it was actually a study. It was a Danish study in a couple of thousand Danish men. And they looked at habitual alcohol consumption and the impact on sperm quality, sperm count, general sperm production, as well as testosterone, and 5 drinks per week habitually was enough to affect all of those parameters. So men who are perhaps waiting a little bit longer to have children with their partners, they still need to be thinking about this thing. In fact, they have to be thinking about it because their bodies are, even more sensitive to alcohol than when they were in their 20s, when their bodies were able to buffer it a little bit more. Right.
Okay. So T levels in the morning.
T is a moving target. So you want to be looking at it in conjunction with other hormones. And, anytime you get an abnormal, you got to repeat.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we know the importance of testosterone. We know that it's low generally right now in men across the board. We know how it's made. What are some of the hormones that are, playing havoc? Because it's not just our lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right. What's causing low testosterone generally?
So first things first is our chronic stress. So evolutionarily, we were never impacted by chronic stress in the way that we are in the 21st century.
Right.
Remember, back in the day, we were being chased by saber-toothed tigers. There were floods. There was famine. But, those were acute periods that would eventually resolve or you would perish. But you would never be living under chronic stress for prolonged periods of time.
Right.
So remember, cortisol, when we hear the word cortisol, we think of it as a bad word. It's not a bad word. Without cortisol, we wouldn't be alive. So in short bursts, cortisol actually ensures our survival. It diverts blood towards the muscles. It diverts blood to the heart and basically prepares you for fight or flight. Okay. Right. It downplays systems of the body that are not necessary for survival, digestion, growth, and reproduction. Okay. Because you don't need any of those when you're fighting a bear.
Right. Exactly.
Right? Exactly. And then when that stress becomes chronic, you have now downregulated the reproductive system, meaning that cortisol has now suppressed testosterone for prolonged periods of time.
Right.
It does so directly at the level of the testes, and it does so at the level of the brain.
Right, right. Okay, so, I mean, back, in the days.
Yeah.
Life was hard. Way harder than it is today. Like, 100 times harder than it is today. We have so many things that are so easy and right at our fingertips.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was, you had to hunt, or not even that. You had to, you worked on your farm. You grew your food. Life was a lot tougher. Lots of wars going on, and our testosterone levels were huge back then. Not huge, but they were high. Because we attacked life. We knew life was going to be tough.
Yeah.
We knew.
Yeah. We weren't overeating and we were on the move all the time.
Yeah. So we knew, okay, life's tough. So we're going to attack it. Now we're afraid of life.
Yeah.
We just get, this is too hard for me. I can't do this. Yeah.
We're in the car worrying about, the tasks of the day, having to have a meeting with your boss or your employees and the bills to pay and all that. So you're constantly in your head worrying there are threats there, but the threat is not the same. It's not the bear or the saber-toothed tiger.
Right.
These tasks and these to-do things that are occupying the brain. And the brain is an old reptilian brain, this part of the brain that perceives threat. And it doesn't distinguish between being stuck in traffic late for work or being attacked by the bear.
Right.
It's the exact same physiological response.
Right, exactly, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Which is huge. So you guys, even if you're not getting attacked by a bear or a saber-toothed tiger or, a gang of guys, what you're doing in your mind and what you're is producing the same amount of stress.
That's right.
And it's prolonging it too, because when you're, having to fight a bear, it's only going to last, 15, 20, 30 minutes.
Either he wins or you win.
Yeah, exactly. If you're fighting a gang, you're going to get the shit kicked out of you for a good 15 minutes, but then it's gone.
Yeah.
But when you're in the car for an hour driving to work, that's an hour.
Yeah.
And cortisol, by the way, is a stress hormone. So that's the one that we still need it, because that is the hormone that's going to allow us to attack the tiger, allow us to attack the gang, allow us to protect and what have you. But it's also the hormone that's going to suppress testosterone.
Yeah. And so cortisol can be tested.
Right. Okay.
And the most appropriate way to test cortisol levels is actually with saliva.
Right. Okay.
Saliva test. And that saliva test gives you about a 3-month window into what cortisol has been doing in your body.
Okay.
So it is an appropriate testing tool to get a sense of that.
So are there levels that we should be looking for? Or because it goes up and down, it's just really hard to.
Level is one thing, but the pattern is what's crucial. So you want to see peak cortisol in the morning,
right?
Between 6 and 8 in the morning, or 7 and 9, and then you want to see that graph come down and peter out by bedtime.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes graphs, what I've seen in patients, is a sustained elevated cortisol.
Yep.
Or a reverse curve where it's low in the morning and high at night, and why men will find it difficult to get going in the morning, but then they're really wired at bedtime.
I find them
completely flat curve.
If I was to put a hypothesis together, I would say that most men have the opposite. Have the low cortisol in the morning and the high at night.
Yeah, it's possible. It has a lot to do with how long they've been stressed.
Right. Right.
And how the body deals. Yeah.
Okay, so cortisol is the first hormone that we have to look out for.
Insulin.
Insulin. Okay, talk to us about that.
So again, when we hear insulin, we shudder. We think that it's a bad thing.
Right.
Insulin is a growth hormone, right? Okay. So without insulin, all of that protein that we consume would never be driven into the muscle, right?
Right.
So we need insulin. It's when we become insulin resistant, where the body stops responding to insulin, that it becomes a problem. So grossly, we can see if if a man's having issues with insulin when we see certain fat deposition in the body. So the love handles are often associated with a low carbohydrate sensitivity or insulin resistant, and then back fat.
Back fat. Okay. So what causes insulin resistance?
So cortisol, when we are stressed, has your body releasing glucose.
Right.
And when glucose rises in the bloodstream, the body produces insulin to bring it down.
Right.
Okay. So even if you ate incredibly well, the rise in cortisol will have you producing a much larger insulin load throughout the day.
Right. Right.
Coupled with processed foods, you know, processed sugars and flours and just too much bread, too many sandwiches and all that, that increases the carbohydrate load of the body, which then raises the amount of insulin that we secrete over a 24-hour period. Now, if we do that day in, day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, eventually your body starts saying, you know what, we're not going to respond to this hormone anymore. And it stops and it becomes resistant to insulin stimulation.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay. So that's another one that we have to worry about. And we're going to get to like kind of things that you can do to not suppress, but to get a handle on them.
So here's what's interesting about insulin.
Yeah, please.
Is in your annual blood work.
Which you should be getting, guys.
Which we should all be getting. The one test that gets measured is fasting glucose, which is your, you know, you fast overnight, you have glucose check first thing in the morning.
Right.
And that's about it. They'll check also HbA1c or hemoglobin A1c to see, you know, where you are in the development of prediabetes. Right. And when those are normal, nothing is done. Here's what's really interesting is insulin resistance precedes prediabetes diagnosis by about 6 years on average.
Right.
So it will take 6 years before your fasting glucose of 5 and change goes above 6.
Right. Okay.
You will have 6 years of being able to do something, but never given the information and the tools to do something about it. So the next test that I run in conjunction with fasting glucose is fasting insulin.
Fasting insulin. Okay. And that will tell us what?
So you take fasting insulin and you take fasting glucose and you plug it into a test called HOMA, homeostatic assessment for insulin resistance. And it basically tells you how insulin sensitive or how insulin resistant you are.
Okay.
So 1 to 1.9 is considered normal. 2 to 2.8 is early signs of insulin resistance. And then above 2.9, you are insulin resistant and you are on your way to prediabetes.
Right. Okay.
But that prediabetes diagnosis and then eventually diagnosis can take 6 to 10 years.
Right. So you can have a handle on it. Like from now, you can totally have a handle on it, especially if it's something that's hereditary. You know, you see a lot of diabetes in your family, then you know that this is what you should be getting now, that test, just so you can start to, again, the things that we're going to talk about, to keep those levels down, you know, keep you resistant.
Yeah. And some symptoms of increased insulin in men will be things like cravings for sweet, hot flashes. So you start sweating, you don't understand why. Low blood sugar episodes, also known as hypoglycemia. Increased facial and body hair, which we often associate with testosterone.
Yeah.
Because insulin is a non-specific growth factor, it can actually increase body hair.
Okay.
Okay. Numbness in the hands and feet.
Yeah.
Weight gain around the waist, which I mentioned, and then constipation.
So when I was taking the prednisone, I was getting hot flashes every day. Like, it was crazy. It's like I just literally just be soaking wet at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here?
That's right.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing that kind of stuff happening, that's when you should start to say, okay, what's going on here?
That's right.
Am I supposed to be getting hot flashes?
Let's get a little bit more information on what's going on here. Are the hot flashes due to low T?
Right.
Are you having hot flashes because of high insulin?
Right.
Are you having hot flashes because of high cortisol? We don't know. We have to, you know, you have to assess. Otherwise, you're guessing.
Totally, 100%. We should all be assessing our bodies on a regular basis because we can't guess.
That's right.
This is our vessel. We can't guess with this stuff. Okay, so cortisol, insulin, what's the next?
Estrogen.
Okay, let's talk huge about that, boys.
Estrogen. Again, when men hear estrogen, they also shudder, right?
Yeah, yeah. You
know, estrogen is associated with women, but men have estrogen circulating in their bodies as well. And it actually is important within normal range, right? So estrogen in men is essential for modulating sex drive, erectile function, and sperm production.
Right, okay.
So we need a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's when an estrogen in men is made from testosterone.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So, but negative sources of estrogen, and when I mean negative, it could be made by the body. So the body will take a man's testosterone and convert it into estrogen. Mm. When men are overweight, obese,
yep.
So fat tissue will convert testosterone to estrogen.
Yes.
Alcohol,
yes,
I will convert testosterone to estrogen. Too much insulin will convert testosterone to estrogen. Inflammation can do it. Stress and zinc deficiency.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Huge.
So that's huge. So a little bit of estrogen is important. Too much estrogen basically knocks testosterone out of the game. So basically you almost call it like a testosterone steal.
Yeah. Okay.
To make estrogen.
Right.
But the way that the body works is, well, if there's too much estrogen and not enough T, you would think that the brain would upregulate testosterone production.
Totally.
There's a negative feedback reaction where estrogen goes to the brain and says, we don't need T.
What's happening to all these men today.
Exactly.
They're not taking care of their body. I'm telling you guys, your estrogen levels are high as shit.
Yeah. And so the brain's like, cool, we don't need any more T. We're not going to make any. We get testicular shrinkage.
Right.
And then things like impotence and infertility and all those low T reactions.
Right.
And estrogen also has a proliferative effect on tissue. So it will cause the growth of things like breast tissue.
Right. Yes. Man boobs, guys.
And we'll see that as well as what's around very specific is around the hips.
Yeah.
The hips and the thighs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Estrogen deposits.
I'm loving that you're going through this because I see it every day. I see it every single day, all day, every day. You know, because I'm always looking at men, older men, right? I'm always looking at their body shape. I'm always looking at that guy's got a low testosterone. This guy's got this. You know, I'm not judging. I'm just looking. I'm always like aware because I'm trying to help everybody, right? I want to help all these guys to regain their testosterone and you know, get rid of. No, I'm not saying get rid of, but you know, keep those at bay. Like I say testosterone, like, you know, that's your superhero and all those other you know, insulin. I actually put inflammation. I know it's not a hormone, but inflammation as well. Cortisol and estrogen are like the, you know, kryptonite, right? Like, you know, it's over, it's out there and you can see it. So you need a little bit of it just to keep you at bay, but too much is going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Destroy you.
Some questions that I ask men is, you know, and that would be related to an increased estrogen scenario would be increased anxiety, apathy or lack of motivation, decreased morning erections, a decrease in muscle mass. So I'll have to say, you know, I go to the gym and despite the workouts that I'm doing, I'm trying to push myself to the next weight or to do more reps, and yet I'm not seeing any changes in my muscle mass.
Right.
That's one thing to be looking for. Decreased sex drive, fluid retention, particularly around the ankles or in the hands, if they feel swelling, prostate enlargement, urinary urgency. So those are some of the symptoms that we need to be looking for. And the opposite would be true too, is when men have insufficient amounts of estrogen, they'll tend to show, you know, things like cold extremities, confusion, sort of difficulty concentrating.
Yeah. So, okay. So guys, like, I'm sure all of us have, you know, put ourselves in, you know, can relate to some of these things that we're hearing about when it comes to cortisol, estrogen, and insulin. And you're like, okay, man, no shit, man. Oh, I get that. I have that too. I have that. Yeah. I drink beer. Oh my God. I have all of those things. Don't worry, because you can take control and you can turn this around and you can turn everything around. No matter if you're 40, 50, 60, 70, you can turn this around and you can do it naturally. And so let's just talk about some of the, you know, things that we can do. Because we have those are three hormones we're talking about, right? Those are three that we don't want to pile more on you guys. Let's just control those three hormones, and obviously the fourth being testosterone. We really want to control that. So let's start with cortisol. Like, what are some of the things we can do to help, you know, decrease our cortisol levels or get a handle on it?
So it's really interesting. There is evidence to say that sustained cardiovascular exercise, when baseline cortisol level is high, actually contributes to more cortisol.
Yes, I know that. Exactly.
Right? And so strength training and HIIT are actually more appropriate for men who have high levels of cortisol.
Yes. So I've told these guys that some of the worst workouts for men over 40 are the cardio. Like, the when I say cardio, you know, you're on the elliptical for 60 minutes, 45 minutes at a sustained, you know, rate, or on the treadmill or on the stepper. We can't do that anymore, guys. And you should be happy about not doing that, because that's the most boring type of exercise in the world.
Yeah.
Shoot myself if I have to do that. And yes, you're increasing to cortisol, which means you're increasing that fat deposits around your belly and all these other symptoms that we're talking about. So you could be doing that forever. And yeah, maybe the first week or two, you're going to see a little bit of change. But then what's happening is you're like, okay, I'm on the treadmill for, you know, 5 days a week. I'm doing this, you know, or whatever, and I'm still not getting any results. In fact, I feel like I'm getting fatter. You know, I'm not getting rid of the belly fat. And that's because of that exercise is increasing your cortisol.
That's right. So if you're an overweight guy and you engage in cardiovascular exercise that contributes to more cortisol, what the body's going to try to do is dilute that cortisol, right? Through inflammation and keeping you overweight.
Right.
If you're a lean guy and your cortisol is high and you're engaging in exercises that contribute to even more cortisol, then that'll have a degrading effect. So if you're not diluting, you're degrading.
Right. So all your heart
is good.
Yeah. So I'm glad you said that, because I have two types of guys. I got the big guys who need to lose weight, and I got the hard gainers, the guys who are like, you know, I can't gain weight. They, you know, they can't build muscle. And that's probably, well, there's a whole bunch of things, the reason why, but once you get a handle on the cortisol and your testosterone and some of the other things, that obviously type of training and your nutrition is going to, you know, be important. But once you have a hold of understanding that, hey, maybe it's my cortisol, maybe my stress, am I getting enough sleep? You know, am I too stressed out? Am I, you know, these things are going to.
Sleep is crucial.
Totally.
For cortisol levels.
So yeah, so we move on to sleep. Sleep is huge. 7 to 9 hours. Quality
7 to 9
sleep.
Hours, consistent sleep, uninterrupted sleep, really putting that phone away at least an hour before bed.
Yeah.
Most people are setting their alarms within moments of closing their eyes. That is a melatonin killer, right? So there was a Harvard study that looked at adults looking at smartphones for within 1 hour of bedtime. That delayed melatonin production by up to 2 hours, even after they've fallen asleep. And that disruption in melatonin production wreaks havoc on the body.
Right. We need that melatonin.
We need that melatonin, because melatonin is the opposite hormone to cortisol. When cortisol is low at bedtime, melatonin is high.
Right.
When melatonin is low in the morning, cortisol is high. So we need to be maintaining that circadian rhythm.
Awesome. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay. What else with cortisol? So sleep, keeping stress down, different styles of exercise.
Yeah. Meditation, whenever you know, you can do that. I mean, when people think of meditation, they think that they need to be sitting, you know, cross-legged in a Buddha pose for an hour. And that really isn't what one needs to be doing. If you can just break that stream of consciousness, that circular thinking of, you know, I need to do this, I need to do this, and you get really wrapped up in your thoughts. If you can just break that up for 5 minutes in your day, that has a tremendous impact on your stress response.
Absolutely. Part of one of the bonus programs in the Over 40 Shred is a meditation program, 8-week meditation program. And it's just 5 minutes, you know, it's something that I do every morning, and it keeps, you know, I have a high stress. You know, I own two companies, and, you know, got all kinds of things going on. And now that I'm fighting, you know, there's a lot of stress going on. But, you know, you got to have that meditation in order to help you get through the day and keep your mind, you know, and your body and everything balanced, right? And cortisol levels low as well.
That's right. And then, of course, there are certain supplements that could help lower cortisol, but lifestyle and diet and eating regularly are really important for reestablishing that circadian rhythm of cortisol.
Cool. Insulin, how are we gonna balance that?
Insulin, really making sure that you're not eating. I mean, there are situations where individuals can't have to eat frequently for whatever reason.
Right.
For the most part, it's important to not be snacking throughout the day.
Right.
Whenever possible, because with every meal that we have, we store 60% of what we ate, and we readily use the 40% that we just consumed. And so that 60% is stored in order to take us 3-4 hours until the next meal.
Right.
If we're eating, if we're snacking, every half hour, every hour, then you're actually never tapping into the very thing that you stored that was supposed to give you energy.
Right.
And so just being really, disciplined and organized with respect to mealtime. There is really good evidence for intermittent fasting, right? So yep. Eating within a narrower window of time. So men seem to do better when they eat within an 8-hour window of time. So that would mean, if your breakfast is at, say 8 a.m., then 4 p.m. would be dinner time, or yeah, your last meal of the day. And of course, you can rearrange your meal times. As long as you stay within that 8-hour window. With women, it's a little bit wider. Women can, do it in a 10-hour window of time. But remember, if you're having breakfast at 7 a.m., even if it's not breakfast, I'm just having a little something, I'm having a latte or whatever, that's still, you're still secreting insulin. And then if the last thing that you put in your mouth Triscuits and cheese at 10 p.m., you will have been secreting insulin over a 14, 16-hour period.
Right.
So that's total insulin load throughout the day. And insulin stores. It doesn't burn.
Right,
okay? Exactly. So we can lower the total amount of insulin that you secrete over the course of the day. Then we start to see insulin normalize. And then, of course, go ahead.
Okay.
And then the last thing is making sure that you're having protein at each meal.
Yes, of course. So
the bare minimum is 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you distribute that evenly throughout the day, making sure that you have protein at each meal will also control the amount of insulin that you're secreting throughout the day.
Yeah. So with our meal plan, it's basically 3 meals a day,
mm-hmm.
In a balanced plate. So there's carbs, complex carbs, there's protein, there's vegetables or fruits, whatever, depending on the time of day. And there's protein.
Yeah.
And there's fat. So all those things helping with production of testosterone, but keeping all these other things at bay and insulin balanced. And we also throw in 24-hour fast as well, once a week or twice a week, depending on the person. Mm-hmm. Again, just to talk to what you're talking about. And then intermittent fasting is another way to help this. So I like that you're saying all of this. And then what about estrogen?
Estrogen. So with estrogen, I mean, weight loss
is
the number one, one of the main variables that we can control for. So even a 5% weight loss in someone who's overweight or obese will have positive effects on estrogen levels. If you are zinc deficient, then it is important to replete a unit of zinc. Ditch the alcohol. It's so important. So, light drinking is 1.2 servings of alcohol a day. Moderate is 2.2 glasses per day. And then heavy drinking is 3.5 glasses per day. So if you're in the moderate to heavy categories, it's really important to scale back because alcohol is having a huge impact on the production of testosterone or the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Yeah. I think personally for me, and again, what I say to these guys is once you hit your goal of where you want to be or, the weight loss or testosterone, that's when you can reintroduce alcohol. But for now, just get rid of it. You don't need it right now. You don't need alcohol to, enjoy your company or to go, have a meal or to, go to celebrate. You don't need it, especially if your focus is your health and getting, your T levels up and, so you really need to focus on, getting rid of all that other stuff, And then once you've got it, first of all, without alcohol, you're going to see a total change in your life. Like it's going to be like, why am I even drinking?
Yeah.
Like you're going to be like, I don't even need it.
Yeah, it's just interference. And in fact, it's actually affecting your performance.
Totally, totally.
At every level.
Yeah. So, but again, I'm not saying not to drink. You can, you know, but come back at the lower.
Drink responsibly.
And smoke responsibly too, because today in Canada, pot is legal, by the way, just as we're October 17th, pot is legal. Anyways.
And then things like green tea. Yeah. And flax have also been shown to slow the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
And what should we stay away from? Like soy?
Actually, soy has a positive impact. So it will slow the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Okay.
So it's not it doesn't have the estrogenic. So the bad rap that soy has.
Which I give it a bad rap.
Yeah, it was based on a study that took place, I think it was mice or rats in the 90s, where they actually injected soy into hormone-sensitive tumors.
Yeah.
And those hormone-sensitive tumors grew, and based on those results, we extrapolated that soy is more estrogenic and contributes to tumor growth. What the evidence tells us is that soy reduces aromatase activity, and aromatase is the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen. So as long as you're getting organic and you don't have any intolerances or allergies to soy, again, in moderation, it's completely safe.
Okay, cool. Anything else?
The last thing is also just the importance of really talking to somebody about your medication and how that affects your testosterone levels. So we know that, like I mentioned earlier when we started speaking, that cholesterol lower medication affects testosterone because testosterone is made from cholesterol.
Exactly.
So in certain instances, absolutely a man should continue to be on statins, but explore the cause. And sometimes it's just about a dose adjustment. Right. And a pharmacist and a physician can assist with that. Men who are taking Tylenol for for extended periods of time, it has also been shown to affect sperm count, sperm production, and testosterone production. So if you're relying or if you're seeking pain management, that you again speak to somebody, whether you know a naturopathic doctor or another healthcare provider, to help with alternative pain management interventions, because Tylenol is having a negative effect on testosterone levels. And then men who are antidepressants, we know that antidepressants, specifically SSRIs or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor medication, also has an effect on libido and erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
And there's a time and place for medication. So perhaps speaking with your family doctor or pharmacist about a dose adjustment or perhaps a different category of antidepressant can help if you're seeing changes in your androgen levels.
I love this, man. I love this. You are amazing, Dr. Dom.
It was a lot of fun.
This is, guys, listen, we've learned a lot today. We've learned a lot. You know, we've learned about the importance of testosterone, how it's made, how it affects our body, and why we need to, where we're at right now. In fact, it's very low in all men, most men, you know, just in general in society. We've learned how to test for it, what to look for. And then we've learned the kryptonite, testosterone, right? The estrogen, cortisol, insulin. We understand now how those are formed and why their levels are high, and we do need some of it, but we don't need a lot of it, and ways to you know, attack it. And this is not just coming from me, because I talk about this all the time. It's coming from Dr. Dominica from Wealth Pharmacy in Toronto. Guys, if you need to get your if you're in Toronto and you're listening to this and you need to get your testosterone checked, or you need to figure out what's going on, your doctor, you know, your GP means well, but your GP doesn't know everything. They kind of know a little bit about everything, but they're not specialists in one thing. They may have their specialty, but you know, go to Dr. Dominica if you live in Toronto at Wealth Pharmacy, because she focuses on hormones, and she, like you said, you like to work with men.
That's right.
Because we don't have the support that we need.
There's no strategy. We got to keep the strategy.
Yeah. And even when when I was creating this program, Over 40 Shred, it was tough for me to get information. You know, it's tougher. I had to dig, I had to dig to get a lot of scientific and research information. But it just in general, when I just started the whole journey, just saying, okay, I'm a guy over 40. What workouts do I do? What nutrition do I have? Like, you know, there's every other nutrition, low carbs, low fat, you know, keto, paleo, all this stuff that's not for us. It's great. Those will work for certain people, but for us guys over 40, we need just general balance, testosterone boosting, micronutrients that will boost your testosterone, keep the cortisol, the estrogen, insulin at bay, you know, lifestyle change, sleep, all of these things that, you know, that we can do to naturally increase our testosterone and keep everything up. And once you start doing that, you're going to be working at 100% or as close to 100% as possible. And you'll be able to reach your, you know, the levels of, optimization.
That's right. Right. Performance.
So go see the doc. How can we reach you? Facebook, social media, give us all of your,
all of that. So you can reach me. My handle on Instagram is Dr. Dominika ND. Okay. You can reach me all, you know, www.wealth.ca.
Okay. I'll have that in
there. Yeah. I'm on Instagram a lot. Less so on Facebook. So you can reach me there.
Okay. Go see her, guys, in Toronto, in GTA. Go take the trip to Church and Lombard.
Church and Lombard.
Okay. Yeah. And go see her.
Church and Adelaide. Yeah.
Church and Adelaide. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very
amazing.
Much.
Amazing. And hopefully we'll have you back again.
Sounds good.
Hey, so I hope you enjoyed that episode and got a ton of information that you can go back and actually start using in your everyday life. And if you got any bit of information, useful information or valuable information from this episode, please give this this podcast episode a 5 rating. Give it a nice high rating. It helps with the podcast. It helps keep our rating high so that I can continue to bring you great guests and more episodes of this podcast. Also, please make sure you download the Over 40 Alpha podcast app. You can find that in your app store. Go down and download that, because you'll make sure that you never miss another episode. It's very easy to access. And if you haven't downloaded this yet, please download my free 1 week Over 40 Shred program for men by going to www.freeover40shredprogram.com. That's freeover40shredprogram.com. Thanks so much for your time. And until next time, get it done.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.